Right now, as aid trickles in and the humanitarian crisis grows, CBS's Robert Berger has the latest from Jerusalem.
The UN is reporting scenes of desperation as trucks carrying humanitarian aid enter Gaza from Egypt. Crowds of hungry people have been climbing onto the trucks and grabbing packages. Video shows that other trucks have been seized by Hamas gunmen.
White House security advisor Jake Sullivan met with Israeli leaders today who say this intense phase of fighting should start winding down a bit in the next few weeks. Russian President Vladimir Putin says there won't be peace in Ukraine until Moscow achieves its goals. And he suggested through an interpreter that the West is growing weary of supporting the war.
Today, Ukraine produces almost nothing. Excuse my vulgarity, but everything is being brought in as a freebie. But those freebies could run out at some point. And it seems that they are gradually running out.
About $61 billion in U.S. aid is still in limbo in Congress. A jury is now deliberating in former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani's defamation trial after he changed his mind about testifying. More on that from CBS's Scott McFarland.
But Giuliani may have other motivations for not wanting to take the stand here. He would have left himself open to cross-examination from the plaintiff's lawyers, using some of his own words after the election against him. What's more, there could have been questions to Giuliani about Donald Trump and what the plaintiff's attorney described as a conspiracy and a misinformation campaign by Trump and Giuliani.
Jurors are deciding how much to award in damages. It has been 11 years since the shooting rampage at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut, where 20 children and six staff members died. Today, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries blasted Republicans for their silence on gun control.
The country said we must never allow it to happen again. But this year alone, there have been 635 mass shootings.
Scientists say they've discovered why some pregnant women get morning sickness.
U.S. and U.K. scientists say women who suffer morning sickness, including the most severe form, hyperemesis gravidarum, carry the same genetic variant of a particular hormone. And laboratory tests suggest that exposing them to gradually increasing amounts of that hormone may prevent them from developing morning sickness. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
And don't forget to check out the Geminids meteor shower later tonight. It peaks with 120 meteors per hour. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Mary's Place of Central Wisconsin is seeing an increased need for housing as temperatures drop. The new location in Wisconsin Rapids opened in June of this year. Deputy Chief Quinton Ellis said it's an important service much needed in Southwood County.
This is an excellent project to get people headed in the right direction. They're able to secure those first basic needs of a roof over their head, food in their mouths, and then they get the programming too. This isn't a free stay forever. It's a short stay to get people on track.
Mary's Place of Central Wisconsin is holding a dollar-to-dollar match grant fundraiser until the end of December. All funds raised will be matched up to $80,000. You can help by visiting marysplacecw.org. Donations will support both the Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids locations. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 29 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 43. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, 34. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 50.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Right now, in studio with us, our great friend, Lacey Ayling, Events and Engagement Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Lacey, good to see you.
Good to see you.
How you doing today?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I would be doing better if I was as smart as you. The vest, good idea.
Oh, my goodness.
I good idea.
Cold.
Yeah, it's a good idea with the vest. I like it. Lacey, I appreciate the time. Appreciate everything you and the Chamber does for our community. I know how busy you guys are normally. This time of year, got to be even busier. It's got to be twice the amount of time.
Yeah, it definitely keeps you out of trouble, right?
yes. That's certainly why I keep busy. I want to start about get into some upcoming events with you, if you don't mind. Let's start right there. We got some an annual meeting and awards coming up.
Yes. So the annual meeting and awards 2023 nomination form is out. You can find it on our website, as well as we have some just copies of it if you want to come into the office and fill it out. You can also print it out, and then I think complete it. And you can also, we've had people even faxing it in, just they kind of wanted to be like, I think a little bit more like, I don't know, mysterious about it. But yeah, definitely help us recognize successful businesses in the heart of Wisconsin. Please indicate your award choice for the business, organization, or individual you are nominating. And then nominations are due by January 13th of 2024.
Lindsay, do we have previous winners to maybe give people that don't, you know, aren't familiar with this an example of the type of businesses that we're talking about, or because I don't want to reference businesses, you know, that haven't won or something, and, you know, maybe.
On the awards, so obviously there's Large Business of the Year, Innovative Business of the Year, Entrepreneur, Small Business of the Year, Community Impact of the Year, and then Professional Executive of the Year. It has each one of those nominations, and then it has the previous winners below that, because we don't want to have the same people winning every year.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
So, yeah, they have it broke down to where, like, these are the previous ones that you can't nominate for this year, so that way it makes it a little bit easier for you to be able to do it, and then hopefully we've been getting some pretty good traffic for it, so definitely exciting. It's really fun, and you can nominate yourself, so a lot of people have been calling and asking that, so you absolutely can. I think that people, you know, if you believe in yourself, you know, do that, you know. Definitely, you know, I think that we had a couple that did last year, and I think they kind of felt weird about it, but I think that you absolutely should advocate for yourself.
On our morning show, we just did a story last week about a politician that was running, lost by one vote, didn't vote for himself. Like, it's not a bad idea to vote for yourself.
Yes,
it's not a
absolutely.
Bad idea. It's not.
And then we are looking for sponsors and donations for this event. So definitely reach out to me at communications@wisconsinrapidschamber.com if you'd like to sponsor. We have the wine liquor poll as well as raffle baskets. And I would absolutely love to talk to you about those things.
We always encourage you to buy local, support local. And that includes with advertising, of course. I also would think advertising an event like this might be a good way of letting people know that you might be good for nominating. For something like this.
Absolutely. We have some great businesses that have always been kind of staples for this event. And I think that a lot of the packages have actually sold out, which is wonderful. So I'm very excited about that. But yeah, it's my first one. So, and I'm really excited about, like, I love planning things, so it's really, really fun to get to decorate and get to pick color schemes and things like that.
Can't help but notice there's no category for local DJ, local radio announcer. Okay, well, next year maybe.
We already know it's you. We know.
You're good. That was good. That was well played. We encourage the public and business and companies to buy chamber gift certificates this time of year as well. It's a great way to, especially if you're not sure what to do.
Yes, absolutely. So purchasing a chamber gift certificate ensures that money is spent locally and helps build this area's economy. Chamber gift certificates are redeemable at participating chamber investor merchants, and they do make wonderful Christmas presents, as well as when you come in, you can get any dollar amount. And then we also, so it's cash or check. We do not take card for that. It's on a different system, but we have a little, so it comes in an envelope, as well as a list of where you can spend those. So I think It's great, especially if you know someone's here in the area and you really don't know where. There's hundreds of businesses that you know that you can use that at, and we definitely want you to make sure that, you know, they feel, you know, recognized, and I think it fits in the stockings perfectly. So
we have a lot of people, whether it's a business parties and you're not sure what to get somebody or something like this is not only local, but it's a, it covers your bases because there's so many businesses that these can be used at. I know there's a lot of people out there doing things, you know, kind things for our mail carriers. A lot of that goes a long way. There's all of these factors to it, too. But one of the things that I think is interesting about this, too, Lacey, is for me, when growing up, gift cards were one of those things you did last second, you know, and it always came across as a last second gift. Nowadays, though, it's almost the opposite. It's kind of seen as a thoughtful thing to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you this specific thing. I'm going to let you choose what to do with this, especially with the younger generations. That a lot of them ask for gift cards nowadays.
Yes.
That's what they prefer instead of just doing something. It's never a negative to buy something specific for somebody, especially if you have something in mind. But we all know how that can be. You know, most of us, it's our dads. Dad, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I don't need anything. Thanks, Dad. Thanks a lot. That really narrowed it down for me. I'll get him a gift card. He can figure it out.
Yes. Well, and I think it's really nice to where you're showing. Like, I think we've had people where they give it, but they also are like, okay, I'm going to highlight all of their favorite places. So then they're giving it to them, and then they're like, oh, you do listen. You do hear that this is where I like to go. So that way they know, you know, it's on there. And then, right away, you're kind of making them feel like you did put the effort in.
Yeah.
But then you're also giving them the freedom to be able to get what they want, and then also a lot of people, if you tell them, oh, I want this, you tell a bunch of people the same thing, and then you're going to get a bunch of the same thing. So I think it's definitely a great way to support local as well as supporting someone being able to have options and have choices.
That's the best of both worlds. Yes. That's a great idea. I really like that. That's very thoughtful. You're a good gift giver, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet you are.
And I definitely listen because I think that people, they drop hints.
Yeah.
I think that some men forget that. We tell them, we may not use our words, which we should, just be more direct and tell people what we want. But like my kids, I think they've told me about 15 times what they wanted.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, you're supposed to be telling Santa, not me. But they're like leaving lists on the table. And I'm like, okay. Or like just like they'll like go through like a Walmart catalog and then they'll just like circle things and circle things and circle things. And I'm like, oh my goodness, guys. But
One of my favorite things about kids is as wild and amazing as their imaginations are, they're so literal.
Yes.
They're so blunt.
Yes.
You know, right directly. This is what I want.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Santa, wink. Here, mom, here.
And then we're getting them socks. And they're like, I don't remember socks being on that list.
We're speaking with Lacey Ayling from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. And Lacey, we have some upcoming workforce programs and events, some really important ones coming up that we want to make sure everybody knows about.
Yes, absolutely. So we have our community leadership as well as teen leadership. They happen once a month from May, from October to May. And it's a wonderful, wonderful program. I know we talk about it usually when we have our community leadership person here. But December, we actually don't have them coming because, you know, Christmas is crazy.
Yeah.
But for the teens, they are going to be going and they're going to be visiting quite a few businesses, but they're focusing on information technology. So they're going to go to Cyber One Security, Solaris, and GenCom, and talk about the things that those businesses do, as well as classes that they can take at Mid-State if they are interested in those things. So I think that the cool teen leadership program is wonderful, and like the fact that there's technology here. I understand that some people think a certain way about Wisconsin Rapids and about that we don't have things to compete with those bigger cities, but we do have businesses that they definitely want to keep people here. So I think it's great that Laura's, you know, able to go and tour those places, definitely educate them. Obviously, there's leaders everywhere, so definitely getting to shine with that. But the GenCom, they are wonderful in supporting us with walkie-talkies for all of our events so that we can communicate with each other, because obviously, like, it's very important for successful events. But definitely wonderful to all of our sponsors, Walmart, Mariani, Mid-State, Quick Trip, Pepsi, Chatterbox, Aspirus, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, Altman Construction, Kusa, Lion Energy, they all have definitely made the teen leadership wonderful, because those kids eat They are always hungry. So she has to feed them. Definitely lunch sponsor, Paper City Savings. Good luck, because they will literally eat you out of house and home. Laura will bring like boxes of snacks. And I was like, ooh, maybe we'll get some leftovers in the office. And she's like, probably not.
Nothing comes back.
It's 10th graders. And I think that they're, even if they're gone the whole day, they're starving. But definitely wonderful to talk about how to be a highly effective teen, things that they can do, ways they can volunteer, get active, and definitely work on those communication skills. Because I think that even though they have a phone in their hand, you'd think that they'd be able to communicate better. But they cannot.
Yeah.
They'll stare at that phone over having a face-to-face conversation. So I think that definitely having a good understanding of the things that we do here, and definitely explaining Cyber One data and going over the things that we have to offer, I think it's great for those kids.
When it comes to, first off, yes, teenagers are part goat. They are always hungry and they will eat just about anything. So it's a great point right there. When we're talking about the leadership program, adults, teens, all these are great points to make for all of them. Focusing on the teen part of things, Lindsay, one of the things that's Lacey, I keep doing, because I got Lindsay next.
Yes.
I keep doing that too. Pam, no more two L's in a row. Lacey, when it comes to this this part of the leadership program with the teens and everything, you mentioned the communication aspect of this. Recently at the theater that I teach at, we had we haven't had this very often. We have a couple 16-year-old students with us, and we usually have people 18 plus.
Okay.
These two students that we have, their parents thought that this would be really good for them because of the fields that they want to get into, and they have a very hard time communicating with people. So they're learning improv and learning acting and these things just to kind of get themselves out of their shells. They don't want to be the next great actors or anything like that. They're just doing it for those reasons. I think of this leadership program in a similar way. This is first, leadership can be taught anywhere. Whether there's a ton, it's a tech city or a quote unquote tech city or not, that these things you can be learned here. And we have got here in Wisconsin a very thriving tech industry and tech world. And interestingly enough, you don't have to look very far to see it. You just look at our ag industry and our farmers who have been so on top of this and communicating and using the tech world in the ag industry. That's blown me away as somebody who doesn't know much about that part of the world. And that's with that, let alone all these other industries. There's virtually no industry that tech doesn't touch get his fingerprints on. Getting kids more comfortable with communication, with technology, feeling that is going to make them feel like leaders. That is going to, and only build their confidence. Which, when we say leadership, isn't that a big part of it, Lindsay? Whether it's an adult or it's a kid, I think leadership means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but confidence is pretty universal.
Absolutely. I think if you're confident, and especially if you're educated, with them getting so much information at these things, they can speak, they can go home and they can say, okay, mom, dad, I thought I wanted to go into tech. I thought that I wanted to do, IT. I thought that I wanted to do AI. But then they go there and they were like, that's a lot of communication. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of, they use a lot of inside words that no one understands, and a lot of acronyms. And I think that it's definitely like it's growing. And I think it's having a better understanding of things when you're a kid, it makes you more well-rounded. And then at least, and for some reason, I've noticed with my kids, someone could tell them the same exact thing that I have just told them, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And I'm like, I literally just told you that 5 minutes ago.
I just said that.
Yes.
Just said it.
But if it comes from someone else, it has so much more power than it's like, yeah, you're just my mom. You're not a real person.
It's so frustrating.
But yeah, so I think them hearing it from someone else, you could be telling them every single day, you are so good at this. And then it takes someone that they maybe respect in a different way, or they think that they're more successful in a different way to say it, and then all of a sudden the light bulb goes on.
Yeah.
And now they're like, yep, that's what I want to do. And you're like, I've literally been telling you that for 5 years, but okay. At least the light bulb went on.
At least it went on. That's what matters.
But I think it's wonderful. I think that it's crazy because there's so many leaders, and we always think, okay, it's the captain of the football team. Mm-hmm. It's the class president. Mm-hmm. It's the valedictorian. Mm-hmm. But there's so many leaders, and there's so many people that I think are overlooked or like, yeah, that's not me. I'm not a leader. I'm not going to jump in. But like, I mean, even my own daughter, she's very shy, very reserved, and she says I voluntold her to she was going to work at these things, but like, she will jump in. if she can see, oh, that person's going down a road that they shouldn't be going down, even if it's an employee of that place and they're messing with her and they're like, no, I don't work here, like at Hotel Mead. Sean was like, I don't work here. And she was like, then you can't be in here. This is for Santa. Nice. And she told him, you need to go. And he was like, I run this place, girl. But it's like, it's funny that like she would never, she wouldn't even say something to anybody. But then when she's put in this role, she's got her high vis stuff on and she's like, okay, I have to do this. I'm representing the chamber. It's crazy how all of a sudden then it's like, then she'll step in. So it's nice. It's nice. I think it's all about, we need to develop them. We need to believe in them.
My brother works for the Bucks organization, and he's had, of course, a lot of games and everything. And my nephew Mason, his son, who's nine. Mason it can be a little bit of an introvert, a little bit of shy and stuff. But he's at these games, and he sees Giannis Antetokounmpo or somebody like that, and all the other little kids are kind of sitting back and waiting. He goes running up to him. And he just goes up to him. My brother sends me these pictures. Like, my son is trying to go talk to Giannis right now. Like, these things. Like, and he does this stuff because my brother said to him, you know, you can. He built him up. He built the confidence in him in these things and stuff. There's never going to be a time where we're doing too much of this. Mm-hmm. We're you know, kids can always use these kind of things.
Yes.
And we just never know what we could say or do that might impact them in that way. And this leadership program is really good for that.
Yes.
Lindsay, I want to get into the roundtable revitalization. This is another one that's important in our area.
Yes. So we are very excited about the changes with all of the workforce stuff. It's been kind of like a slow process where we're like kind of revamping things and definitely trying to make sure that we are absolutely dedicated to continually enhancing services and benefits offered. With that commitment, we are, we're delighted to announce that the forthcoming adjustments to our roundtable aimed at making them even more valuable and engaging for all participants. So it's now going to be, it's what's going to go from HR roundtable and safety roundtable to network exchange for HR professionals and network exchange for safety professionals. So we're looking for speakers, we're looking for people to come in there. It's really interesting in the fact that like a lot of small businesses, you are HR. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think that you are, you're that head. And so learning more with safety roundtable, same thing with that. There's things where do you have a safety protocol? If you're a new business, are you setting yourself up to be successful with your understanding of, okay, I understand that you can get tunnel vision when you have a small business and you're like, okay, I just need to make money. I need to do this. I need to do all these things. So you can't overlook that you need to make sure that you're having, certain things in place, and they absolutely will help you do that. They have templates to where they can help you set up, for safety, if things are happening. And I think it's great to have that kind of support, as well as it's obviously a safe space. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you can have those conversations like, okay, I have this going on or I have this going on. And maybe you don't have someone internally you can speak to. Mm-hmm. And if you're in charge, you have to make those decisions. And sometimes you don't have a lot of time. So I think, okay, well, this is what's happening here. And then they don't record those minutes. So it is safer to where if you want to have conversations about things that maybe you don't want being public. I know that that's important to Laura to make sure that everyone understands that those things are confidential.
Yeah, confidentiality is incredibly important in this day and age. It always has been, but especially in this day and age where we can get information so easily.
Yes.
And understanding, I feel like, and I don't think this is a reach here or anything, but I feel like all the greatest bosses or owners that I've known, not just that I've worked for, but that I've met in a job like this or anything, they understand that working with their fellow employees or making sure their employees are safe or well taken care of and everything, that makes them work better, work harder, be more loyal, which means your business is that much more profitable and doing that much better. This all ties together. It's not rocket science. This is not that difficult to figure out. You give your employees a good environment, they're gonna respond. They're going to give you good work. If you don't do that, chances are you're not even going to be able to keep those employees, and you're going to spend half your time trying to hire good people. Employees have power now. they've gotten a lot more power, and you're not putting the genie back in the bottle. That's not going backwards. In order to work with get good people, you need to work with them. And one of the first things people are looking for in an environment that they're going to work at is it safe? Not just like not making sure that an anvil doesn't fall on you, but are the people I'm working with safe? Am I in a positive environment and everything?
Yes.
I don't think that's asking a lot. I don't think that's and if you think it is, I don't know how long you're going to stay in business. And yes, I'm not trying to be mean or blunt here, but it's the day and age we live in.
Yeah,
employees have more power.
Yeah, it's very important, especially with that's why we're making those changes, to make sure that people, I think that sometimes we have things and we're like, okay, we don't need to reinvent the wheel, but we do need to make updates with with where we are with social media, with things that can get said, and then all of a sudden it's getting shared, and you may have deleted it, but then it was screenshot and sent, and so it's like we need to make sure that we have a better understanding. And I think if you're kind of old school and you aren't updating those things, you're leaving yourself open to where you could be in a situation where obviously if that's your business, that's your livelihood. So we want to make sure that the businesses feel supported. We want the local, we want the small businesses, we want the community, you know, to do well. So definitely making sure that we have, you know, we have those kind of things, and they are free to all investors. I know sometimes people are like, oh, well, you know, everything costs money, and I get that, but that is free. If you are an investor, you are absolutely welcome to go to those. And definitely, if you want to be a part of the wonderful changes, please contact Laura at workforce@wisconsinrapidschamber.com or at 715-422-4860.
And again, to anybody out there that would like to advertise with this or be a sponsor of these events or anything, please reach out as well to Laura.
Absolutely. So I know she is looking for speakers, definitely with like different topics for HR as well as safety. I think that if there's new safety things coming out, new regulations, obviously 2024, it seems like they add things every single year. So definitely make sure that, you know, if you have an update, or if you're something that you're passionate about, or you've experienced, reach out. We're definitely looking for speakers.
Lacey, we always like to wrap up with our investor of the month. Who is our December investor of the month?
Yes, that's Edward Jones. They've had lots of changes. Yeah, absolutely. So definitely shout out to them. They've been very, very they've been a stakeholder in the chamber, and we definitely love Sharon Zeman. She's an ambassador for the chamber, as well as definitely being very involved, and we definitely appreciate that. We want to support them when they support us. I think it's important. But yeah, they have a wonderful space with the ribbon cutting and we had there last month, and it's been great to get to watch. I love getting to see the before and afters, especially when they have like all these different open spaces now, and they've been adding more agents, and that's great. We're growing, obviously. They're coming here for a reason, so we're doing something right.
We appreciate our friends over at Edward Jones, and appreciate all of our local businesses that put back into this community. And certainly, and most importantly, appreciate our chamber. That's the mission over there, putting into this community, making this community stronger, us being more unified and all that. We appreciate you guys so much over there, Lacey. Thank you for the time. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things we talked about, how can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So definitely reach out. You can reach out to either the office, or you can reach out to me. But I'm available at communications@wisconsinrapidschamber.com. And you can also give us a call. I have a direct line, and that one is 715-422-4859, or by office at 715-423-1830.
And that roundtable revitalization, Laura's information, again, if you want to be a part of that, you can contact Laura Bonner Ridgeway at workforce@wisconsinrapidschamber.com. That's workforce@wisconsinrapidschamber.com, or 715-422-4860. That's 422-4860. Lacey, always good talking and hanging out with you. Thanks for the time. If we don't talk soon, you have a great holiday.
Yes, you too. Okay?
Thank you.
We'll
talk
warm.
Soon. You as well. We'll talk with you later, and we'll talk with Lindsay coming up. We have Let's Talk Real Estate right around the corner on WFHR's Midday Magazine.
Merry Christmas from your friends at Tri-City Services Heating and Cooling. We wish you the gift of faith and the blessing of hope and peace at Christmas and always. Our valued customers are the foundation of our success. From all our families to yours, we extend our best wishes for a happy holiday season and a new year of joy, peace, and prosperity. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Tri-City Services Heating and Cooling.
At Tri-City Services.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Locally Grown Radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The holidays can be stressful. The Marshfield School District mental health navigator Jolene Greenlee is here to help.
Winter season, right before the holidays, stress is super impactful for everyone, for families, and then also for students because we're coming to the end of a semester.
The Let's Keep Talking Parent and Caregiver series for December is Managing Stress.
So this one will be both about how caregivers and parents can manage their own stress and about how they can teach their children to manage stress and cope with high emotions.
Community mental health professionals will hold the presentation at the Marshfield Public Library in the J.P. Adler Room on December 19th at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome to these free parent and caregiver series talks. The Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over holiday campaign begins tomorrow and continues through New Year's Day. Designate a driver and have a safe holiday season. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. 29 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 43. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, 34. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 50.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 14th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we are at 3:30. We're in part two. We are speaking with our good friend, Anna James, natural resources educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Anna, it is always good to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
You're very welcome, James.
I, earlier this morning, was talking with Madison Rafter from the Humane Society, yeah. So I think that's where that came from. Appreciate the time from you. And yeah. And always, I always learn something when I hang out with you, Anna. I appreciate that. I know our audience does. And the topic we're getting into today is one that I think kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes this time of year. We're going to focus on winter salt awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's really relevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a lot of snow and ice, especially coming, you know, so I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about salt use. And mm-hmm. So I would like to address that. And I don't think it's a subject that's talked about a lot. And yeah. I think people could really educate themselves on the use of salt. So if we just get right into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's dive right in.
We rely on salt tremendously, especially mm-hmm. during winters. We salt our roadways. We salt our sidewalks. Sometimes we rely on salt in our homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that could be for water softeners. We're not going to focus on those today, mainly just road salt. Mm. So in Wisconsin and much of the United States, chloride from salt is infiltrating our lakes, streams, and groundwater. And so we might think that when we salt our roadways or salt our driveways, that there's no adverse effect mm-hmm. to that, but there can actually be a pretty heavy price to pay. So it actually only takes one teaspoon of salt to pollute 5 gallons of water to a level that's toxic to freshwater fish and freshwater ecosystems.
If you don't mind, I'd like to repeat that for the people in the back. I just want to make sure that they hear that. That's one teaspoon of salt to pollute 5 gallons of water.
Yeah.
That's an incredible stat.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, when you're walking on the sidewalks during winter, you see that salt, or when you're on the roadways, you see the salt that's piled up, you know, on the side of the roads, and sometimes they'll come through and sweep that salt up mm-hmm. even. Well, where does that salt go? You know, what happens to it? We don't really think about that aspect of it. So we know where the salt comes from, right? We commonly salt our driveways, our roads, parking lots, etc. So when summer and spring hit, chloride mm-hmm. levels in our natural bodies of water, like our lakes, rivers, and streams, actually spike because of the salt that we use. So why do we want to care about mm-hmm. our usage of salt? There's a couple of different reasons, right? We already mentioned salty water can have impacts on freshwater ecosystems. It ends up in our lakes, rivers, streams, and wetlands, and the chloride from salt actually degrades those ecosystems. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of species here that are not tolerant as freshwater species to those higher levels of chloride in the system.
We've heard a lot of talk of PFAS and things like this recently, and I think we've been able to gain a lot of attention and awareness to that. Hopefully we can do it with this subject too.
I mean, Wisconsin has been using salt because it's cheap since the 1950s, right? Nobody wants to drive on icy roads. It's understandable why we use it. It's just, if you think about it, from the 1950s till now, that's a lot of time to build up chloride levels. That's a lot of salt that goes down.
It's decades of that.
So naturally occurring concentrations of chloride can be found in Wisconsin rivers, streams, lakes, etc., but those are usually less than 1 milligram, and that's a kind of a standard throughout most of Wisconsin's waterways. Our surface water and groundwater, and actually our soils too, have been absorbing virtually all of the salt that's spread in the state for more than 6 decades. And that's, you know, that's where we see those chloride amounts increase. And once salt gets into the waterways, it can be very, very expensive and very difficult to remove. I mean, some of the infrastructure to remove salt from our waterways is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that again with the PFAS situation, that, you know, maybe if we can counter this, and we're already late to the game on this one, but if we can start doing some work now, and all of us kind of making our own, taking care of our own backyard, if you will, or front yard as it is, in your front driveway and stuff, the less of us using this, the less of us it goes in, and maybe the less that our future generations have to worry about.
Right. And with salt, you know, salt is pretty different than PFAS. PFAS is a forever chemical, right? Sure. There's no silver bullet to cure that, that we know of currently. Mm-hmm. Salt, we do have simple ways, and we'll kind of touch on those later on, of how we can reduce our impacts much more.
One of the things that I think, I know that, I'll just speak for myself, that I know that I'm tired of, and I know I've heard from others too, is this idea of, well, we've always done it that way, and that's the reason, that's like a good enough reason to keep doing something the way we've always done it, just because we've always done it that way.
Right.
That doesn't hold weight anymore.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot more of not only the younger generations and stuff doing something about that, but more and more people caring about this. But for those that may not, how do we get them to care? How do we get them to be in on this subject with us?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's education. So that's why I'm here, is one of the, I was never taught, I don't think my parents were ever taught, especially about this topic, that what we lay down to make sure we don't slip and fall has some adverse consequences. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, while there are some attitudes of this is how we've done it and this is how we will just continue to do it, that there's going to be people like that everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. But the more that we can educate ourselves, the more we can help educate others, which I think is a wonderful way to just become aware and help others to become aware of things like this, where we can really make a difference.
Well said.
But yeah, so I mean, there's some other reasons why we should care about our salt use. And I don't know how many people know this, but excess salt can actually weaken our infrastructure. So salt can weaken our concrete, bricks, stones, and the makeup of our homes, garages, bridges, etc. So one ton of rock salt can cause between $800 and $3,300 of damage, which, I mean,
That's
to
incredible.
Us personally, that could be a pretty big hit. And nationwide, it can actually cause over $5 billion annually in damage to our roads and our bridges.
It's billion with a B, people.
Yeah, and that's taxpayer.
Taxpayer
dollars.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you're bringing it to this point, too, because in this area and dealing with a lot of people in this area, one of the things that I have found is that most people care about things, but you got to find the right thing to catch them. Mm-hmm. And almost everybody cares about their tax dollars. Almost everybody cares about that. Even if you don't care about the environment, you're going to probably care about that, and maybe we can get people to help with this, even if it is a roundabout way of doing it. I don't really care anymore. I just want people to be, you know, doing this. But that is a strong reason. It may also be the reason why, you know, that gets somebody who is on the fence about this subject of not using as much salt to maybe stop using as much.
Yeah.
We already have proof of this. You didn't need Anna to tell you this, though. If you've been in the Midwest with a vehicle, you understand that the toll it can take, the salt can do on your vehicle. Why would you think it'd be any different on infrastructure? infrastructure.
Right.
But I never even thought of that, Anna, until you brought it up now and in the topics and everything. Yeah. There's a really good one to touch on.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only our infrastructure, too, but our lovely pets that can be at home. Like, I know that they make salt that you can buy for, like, salting your driveways that are pet friendly, et cetera. But those are still have chloride in them, mm-hmm. which can have adverse effects. So the salt that you see on the roadways or on the driveways, et cetera, that can actually really irritate your pet's skin, especially their paws. I'm thinking of dogs mainly, or mm-hmm. paws when they're out walking. And problems can also arise if they eat that salt. They can actually get sick from it.
Yeah.
So, and then we have animals, but we also have plants as well.
Yeah. A lot of our living things are affected by, in fact, every living thing is affected by this in some way or another.
Right.
If I can go to just go back to the pets for a second, because my dad is one of, like, most Midwest dads out there, gets the salt, you know, back in November, and he's waiting to use it.
Right.
And he's very, he uses a lot of it and everything. And for years, I've been kind of on him about this, and I couldn't get him to listen. My dad's a pretty open-minded guy, but this was one of those topics he was just pretty steadfast on. The way that we got him to stop using less salt is how much he loves that my fur brother Sammy. and when he found out that it can affect their paws, I saw it flush over his face. It really affected him. I do think that this is going to hit on a lot of people, but to your point, when we get this counter salt, if you will, that's safe for pets, that doesn't mean it's safe for our planet.
Right. Hmm. And there's still chemicals within that that pet safe salt that we use. So, and then getting back to the plants mm-hmm. and some of our other animals, right? We think about pets, but there's also wildlife that can be impacted by this salt use as well. Salt can actually stress plants and animals that have adapted in our freshwater ecosystems. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that a little bit earlier. So just a couple of examples for wildlife. Spotted salamanders and wood frogs are two amphibians that are rarely found in ponds once chloride levels have peaked to exceed like 200 milligrams per liter of chloride. So these concentrations can actually make the wood frogs susceptible to parasites. And once they get parasites, it's kind of game over.
Yeah.
And there was actually a study done by Bill Hintz at University of Toledo that showed that rainbow trout in habitat areas of high salt concentrations can experience a decreased growth, a rate of growth. And like there was a tremendous decrease in rate of growth. And so we think of central Wisconsin, and you might think, oh, well, only northern Wisconsin has those trout streams. Actually, no, we're in central Wisconsin really rich mm-hmm. with trout streams. And so you think about when we salt our roadways, when we salt a bridge, mm-hmm. that's the easiest access point to getting into some of our streams and our waterways. So, yeah, we have to think about those animals that we don't necessarily see on a regular basis or wouldn't be top of mind, right?
When we're talking about, you know, we've talked about how this affects infrastructure. We've talked about how it affects tax dollars. Now we're talking about how it affects the state's commerce. Mm-hmm. This state is rich in environment and hunting and fishing. It's one of the biggest things that people come to this state for, if not the number one thing people come to the state for. Now we're seeing this affecting that. Mm-hmm. And that, again, is going to affect your dollars. It's going to affect the dollars that Wisconsin can raise. Mm-hmm. And another important reason of why we need to stop doing this.
Yeah.
Just period, stop. Like, this is one of those ones we need to slow down on. This is one we need to stop. We needed to stop it yesterday. But and we're speaking with Anna James, natural resource educator with UW Extension. And Anna, I think with a topic like this, we're giving people a lot of information maybe they didn't know before, mm-hmm. but it's also a big topic. And as we touched on before, well, we've always done it this way. How can I help? What can I do with something this big? But there are things you can do.
Oh, yeah. There are a ton of things that you can do to help. So there's a program called Wisconsin Saltwise, and it's a really wonderful program throughout the state. And I'll give you some resources on how to access that website. But they talk about being smart with your winter salting. So when we all want to get all of the snow off of our sidewalks or our driveways, right? And then the first thing we do after we shovel is probably lay down salt. I mean, I do it, right? Yeah, we all do it. Mm-hmm. But so if you shovel, we're trying to make sure that one of the ways that you can really be smart with your winter salting is to shovel in a shovel as well as you can. Clearing your walkways and other areas before the snow turns to ice is a more effective way to reduce the amount of salt that you would actually use. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually scatter the salt. So my family, we always had a bag of salt by the door with like some kind of cup inside of it. And it would just be, you know, filling up a bucket and tossing that cup, not caring how much we really put out. I've done it before I was educated. You know, did it for sure. Yeah. I'll be the first to admit that. So if you use salt, scatter it so that there's actually spaces in between the grains of salt. Believe it or not, a coffee mug of salt is enough to treat an entire 20-foot driveway or 10 of the sidewalk squares. Mm-hmm. That's a coffee mug. We're not talking like the big coffee mugs, right? Yeah. That's a regular size, your average coffee mug. And so it can be really hard. You just kind of want to throw all that salt out there and get it done as fast as what you can. But just try to be mindful and mindful of your use, and not only that, but mindful of your consumption of it too.
Dressing warm, be patient when you're out there doing it. It won't take as long. And I think you actually are going to save money on salt by doing it that way.
Yep. And, you know, if you're not the person that's removing the snow or, you know, placing salt, say you hire somebody, you can actually select a certified contractor. So through Wisconsin Saltwise program, contractors can become Saltwise certified. So if you hire someone for snow removal, just ask if they're certified through the winter salt certification program. I did look at the map, and it doesn't seem like in Wisconsin that we, or in central Wisconsin here in our area, Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, that anybody was certified, at least private contractors. So if you're a private contractor, it could be something that people would seek out.
There's an opening right there.
There's an opening.
Open market right here. Speaking of our roads, I think that one of the more common things we see on the roads is sand being used for something like this.
Yep. And there's also programs, too, where through Wisconsin Saltwise, where cities, your municipalities can become certified through the Saltwise program. Municipalities can actually hire an educator to come and to teach them about how to calibrate their equipment, how to determine when to use what. Sometimes we want to use brine, sometimes we want to use salt, sometimes we want to use sand. So they'll actually educate those municipalities and whoever's driving the snow plows and salt trucks to use it wisely.
Which is only going to probably turn into your city saving tax dollars.
It is, actually, Jefferson County has actually become a leader in a Saltwise initiative throughout the state. Their efforts helped the county cut salt use by nearly 9 million pounds, which saved the taxpayers $550,000 of money.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is. And that gets back to our taxpayer dollars, right? So I would just encourage you, if you're a maintenance professional or a private contractor, become aware of some of these initiatives that can not only save you money, but, you know, it has a really good outlook for you as a private contractor and to the citizens that you serve within the community.
Sweeping up excess salt, another great thing to do.
So there's a couple of communities that actually have like initiatives that that sweep up excess salt. So so you can sweep up leftover salt, and that reduces damage to your concrete and protects your local waterways. Some communities, like I had said, have the Sweep the Salt campaign, and others have actually started a salt recycling program. Some of the salt, if it's not dissolved, you can use it again. So if you look at your salt use and you say, oh, maybe I could get an, like, is it still in the grain size, you know, is it not melted? You can sweep that up and use it. One thing to mention too is the pavement. When you're throwing salt out, when pavement reaches a temperature that drops below 15 degrees, salt doesn't actually work. So then you might want to switch to something like sand.
Yeah, which that's an incredible thing to hear hear for people out there if they didn't know that already.
Yeah.
Because nobody out there listening doesn't want to save a couple bucks.
Yeah.
You're not going to be using as much salt if you're not using it in those times. We have plenty of days this winter that are going to be those kind of days where we're hitting those temperatures.
Yeah.
I think that there's still going to have plenty of people that are throwing salt out. If mm-hmm. hopefully you hear this and you understand, that's not going to help you any.
Right.
So I think that's an important note, too. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And there's a... If you're just really ramped about this idea and you want to get involved, there's actually citizen science programs that you can get involved in. The Isaac Walton League has a Salt Watch program, and you can sign up for that and you can become a chloride monitor. So you can pick a stream or a waterway in your area. Isaac Walton League will send you a packet and you just tell them where you want to sample. And then you just go down and sample. I think it's a couple of times a year, really not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can kind of monitor that and advocate for your local waterways, which is really cool.
Anna, and for the audience to look behind the curtain a little bit, Anna sent us these notes ahead of time, so I was able to look them over and was doing my own little bit of homework and research on this subject. And there's a couple of things that really surprised me I've already touched on today that you have brought up. But one of the overall things that I took from this was a subject that we don't get a chance to talk about that much, and many of us may not think of very often. But thankfully, we've got a lot of community members who have been thinking about this.
Yeah.
Whether it is this Isaac Walton's League Salt Watch program, or it is the Winter Salt Certification Program. Mm-hmm. Like, there's already initiatives. There's already things in line and have been going on for a while about this subject where... Some cities, some areas might be getting late to this. This has been going on for a while. Yeah. So, again, to speak to the importance of this topic, whether you think it's important or not, there's a lot of your local, you know, your fellow Wisconsinites that do.
Yeah.
And we've already seen some jump on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, as Anna was telling you, that there are things you can do. There are ways you can find out more. Anna, is there anything as far as, like, gray area with this subject that we haven't really gotten a chance to dive into? I'm really glad that the sand part came up because I think that that's something that a lot of people are really – and originally when we're talking about this – one of the first things they're going to think of, we see it on our streets, and many times in town you'll see usually an orange box or something like that with a bunch of sand in it. I remember the first time I saw one of those, not understanding what it was for. I didn't know. I was a city kid, you know. But there's things like that that I think counter this, the need of salt.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, educate yourself. If you're really interested in how you can change your usage of salt, other methods, educate yourself. I'm here speaking. I mean, a majority of the information I got is because I took a class through SaltWise. I was able to sit in on a webinar and learn for myself. So I was able to use these resources to help educate other people, right? And if you're curious, the Wisconsin SaltWise website has a ton of great information. They've got an educator, like I had said before. If you have questions as a municipality, you can reach out to the educator. If you have questions about your own private home or a contractor, you can reach out to them as well. They are actually a partnership between a couple of really great organizations. I know Wisconsin DNR is one of them. So a couple of really well-known organizations that have put backing and put funding towards this, which is pretty cool.
Got a couple minutes left, Anna. I want to go over some of the talking points that we had today.
Yeah.
Like earlier when we said it only takes one teaspoon of salt to pollute 5 gallons of water to a level that is toxic for freshwater ecosystems. I think that is an important stat for people to hear. The idea of how much money this can save taxpayers.
Yeah.
Over $500,000 that it possibly could be saved from something like this. For the Jefferson County, we saw Jefferson County save and everything.
Right.
That is important. The way it affects our animals and our pets. I think is a really hits a lot of people close to the heart when it comes to that. And the idea that they may not even know they're hurting their animals or their pets.
Right.
Being informed of that. Were there any things, as you said, you got kind of educated to this late too? Or not late, but...
It was late. I'll be honest. It was pretty late.
And me too. I don't think you're alone on that one. Yeah. Me, I know as well, and many people out there with that. But when you were first hearing this information, was there anything that really blew you away that was like, whoa, I really didn't know that?
I mean, just the fact that it was so impactful, I think, was the eye opener for me. Mm-hmm. Some of the stats that I shared today were the eye opening moment for me, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, sitting there reflecting on it still now. I have to choose to be mindful about it as well. I'm walking on sidewalks, going into my house, going into a grocery store. You don't think about all that excess salt that you see. It's just something we're so accustomed to as being residents of Wisconsin. Salt is just something we're accustomed to, right? But I think the thing that just opened my mind was how easy it was to overlook that impact. So yeah, I would just encourage people to try to be mindful of even those small details, right? And like to choose to be mindful as you continue forward. And some of these things are so it may seem mundane to us, right? But it's not mundane to the animals' ecosystems that it's affecting
Or your tax dollars. Or all these other factors this hits on so many layers and so many levels. I'm sure that there are people that are going to have follow-up questions, want to know more, and hopefully research this subject. If Anna, people want that kind of information, where can they get it, or how can they get a hold of you?
Yep. If you want more information about the Wisconsin Saltwise program, you can go to wisaltwise.com, or you can reach out to me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
Always appreciate the time, Anna. Always learn when I talk to you. You know how much I love that. Looking forward to talking again real soon. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Happy New Year's. Yep, you as well.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost.
So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS.